भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स बुद्धं धम्मं संघं नमस्सामि। So we recently had a 10-day retreat here at Alokavihara, and usually we have some schedule. We don't usually have a very strict, very rigorous schedule. We usually have time for people to find their own way. But this retreat, we had a completely open schedule. The only things that were scheduled were the breakfast and the meal, and everything else was really open for everyone to do as they, what was most supportive. And it was a lovely opportunity actually to find what is nourishing and to find one's own rhythm and get into it, and also in terms of what practices we picked up, it was completely wide open and very lovely to have that time to just see what comes up. And what I didn't expect it at all, but what came to me was a, well, maybe I should, it was a poem. Of course, I'm into the poems these days. But it was a particular poem that I hadn't felt much of a connection to before. It felt a little bit far from my experience. And it came to me kind of like a mantra. It would just keep going around and around in my mind as a reflection. And so I would dwell on that and take it in and bring it deeper and explore, well, what does that mean? What does that mean in my life? And the poem was the poem of Mitta, which means friend. And it goes like this. Full of trust, you left home and soon learned to walk the path, making yourself a friend to everyone and making everyone a friend. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. And when you make the mind your friend, you will know what trust really means. Listen. I have followed this path of friendship to its end, and I can say with absolute certainty it will lead you home. So that poem came to me like a teaching. There wasn't a lot of other, wasn't, tons of other clutter in the mind, but that poem kept coming again and again. And in my life, it wasn't like that. In my earlier life, leaving home, I didn't leave home full of trust and make a friend to everyone, and I left home with lots of anxiety and didn't know who to trust and who not to. And then, one learns through life. But then there was another leaving home in terms of the path, So I think that's what it's pointing to, not necessarily that we leave our home. Well, Alison's also leaving her home. Not that we actually leave our home, but we leave the what's familiar. We step onto the path and we leave behind the familiar comforts and the familiar habits. We don't leave them immediately behind, but we embark on a journey and we don't really know where it's going to take us. And we don't really know what we're going to meet, and we might not have everything we need in the beginning for that journey. But we, hear the Dharma and are inspired by the teaching, and so we step forth on this path, and that's that can be a way of called leaving home, leaving home for homelessness, for the uncertainty, for not knowing. But in the not knowing, there is the not knowing brings us closer to truth. So full of trust, you left home and soon learned to walk the path, making yourself a friend to everyone and making everyone a friend. So also that practice of metta, where there's a sense of friendliness to all beings. So it can be harder in the one-to-one. You know, there'll be people who we really feel warm and friendly towards, and others that are more difficult. That's, of course, natural. But, you know, when we consider our shared humanity, it's easier, at least in the heart, I find, to think of everyone in a friendly way. So over this time of the elections, things got very divided and still are probably very divided, and it's easy to get into an us and them, and why are they doing this, and can't they see, and you know. And then I would just reflect on, well, what do we all want? What are we all looking for? And we're all looking for, I would suggest, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not true for you, but it seems that we're all looking for safety. We're all looking for, you know, to have enough. We're all looking for safety for ourselves and for our loved ones and people in our lives. And we're all looking for some kind of peace. It might look different to different people. And a sense of belonging. A sense of having something valuable to bring to the world. I think we all have those needs, you know, and some people are attuned to them and they maybe don't notice, and some it might be a deep longing until that alignment is found. And so it's just reflecting on that, you know, well, that's what we all kind of want, the same things. We all need the same basic food and shelter and clothing and medicines and connection. We all need that. And so those reflections would bring a sense of, you know, we're, whatever our views may be, whatever our, you know, whatever vehicle a person may drive, or whatever you know, button you may wear, or whatever particular identity or view you might hold, we all basically, you know, on a simple level, we all have the same needs and same basic needs. And there's different ways of trying to get those met. So that would take me to that place of feeling a sense of, like, my heart would open to everyone. And, you know, there are people who are doing great good in the world, and sages and benevolent beings and people in politics who are genuinely wishing for the benefit of beings, and there are people who are intending harm and who are caught in deeply in delusion and who are doing harm. And this is how the world is. And so I would find myself reflecting on even people who've done quite terrible harm. Sometimes I take in situations that have happened and think of the people who've done these very harmful things, and taking life, intentionally taking life. Particularly that one somehow comes up. And there'd be this sense of, like, although I would never want to do that, and may it never happen, we have a common humanity, and to there's a deep lostness in a way. Someone has when someone commits physical harm intentionally, there's their mind, their heart has gone far off, has lost the connection to the potential that they have, and to the, in a way, the sacredness of life. So that's been coming up for me. This, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat, and some are rowing and some are making holes in the boat. But we're all in that boat together. So put a trust you left home and soon learn to walk the path, making yourself a friend to everyone and making everyone a friend. With a heart of metta. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. I love that line. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. And when you make the mind your friend, you will know what trust really means. So that's when you make the mind your friend, that could be, in a way, for me, that was like the jewel. Even though the whole poem is beautiful, but that was like, okay, this is the practice. This is the work. Where are the places of fear? Where are the places of rejection? Where are the places that are pushed away, shut down within myself and also in relation to others? And you know, what parts of this mind is not, have I not befriended, or you know, it might, and there might be, sometimes there are areas that I have befriended, but not right now, you know. I kind of be okay with the general way of this mind, and then, but right now, no, I don't want it to be like that. And so this practice of befriending the mind, I was just reflecting, well, what does that mean? You know, because we hear about training the mind, the importance of training the mind. And so we need to befriend the mind. And it's like, well, first of all, gotta get to know it really well in its many in the many ways it shows up. And I noticed that there are certain things that's quite easy to befriend and to know and to meet and be friendly towards, and there are some places that it's almost like I want to look away. Well, so didn't see that one, didn't meet that one, and so just catching that, this wanting to just distract myself, wanting to absorb into something, not, I'm not talking about jhanas there, you know, wanting to absorb into something as a distraction, or wanting to turn away and just seeing, well, can I turn towards that? Can I turn towards that not wanting, or that wanting something else, wanting something stimulating or distracting or... So it's like learning to take in, practicing taking in the whole of this mind, the generous and the clear and the strong parts of this mind, and the addictive and restless and doubting parts of this mind, and you know, old stories that come up. So, you know, fortunately, the Buddha kind of pointed to them in the suttas with the way that in the form of Mara, how Mara pops up at different times in the suttas, and doesn't give up. And so, you know, I could see that there was at one point there was a kind of things were well, and it was a beautiful retreat, and the community is really good, and it's great. And then there was like a dropping into a hole that was a very familiar place, and just like dropping in there for a while. And then for a little while, it's very believable. Oh gosh, I'm in this hole. Oh, it's really, you know, oh, things are really bad. Oh, you know. And there are these little stories of self that play out that are conditioned, and I know where they come from and so on. And, but there they are. I'm in them, dropped in there. And for a while, you know, while there isn't a sense of friendship towards them, they have power over me. And then at some point, the awareness recognizes, oh, you know what this is. This is that old story, isn't it? And that's from that conditioning. You know where that comes from. And then I can kind of pull myself out of that hole and back onto solid ground again. And all's well. But even at that point, you know, even when there's all's well, there's still that, there might still be a feeling in the heart or in the belly of I'm not sure what to call it, but it's something that's kind of agitating or nagging, or, you know, it's like not allowing a fully resting into the wholeness of this moment. And I can see that my initial response to that was like, why is this still showing up? Why doesn't this go away? You know, I don't need to still have these thoughts and these doubts and these troubled. The troubledness shouldn't be coming around anymore. And yet, you know, Mara keeps coming around until one is completed on the path. And even the Buddha, you know, Mara still came into the Buddha. So I realized, oh, you know, if I believe in those mind states, then I'm in trouble. I become born as, you know, I get born into that difficult place. And if I try and push them away, I get into trouble because they, you know, there's causes and conditions for them to arise. So if there can be a befriending and a getting to know, getting familiar with those places, those more challenging places in the heart and mind, and it's like, oh yeah, I know you. Oh yeah, you've been around a long time. And there can be more of a turning toward and an interest in and recognizing that this is not who and what I am. This is not something to make decisions based on. You know, this is just a thought and a mood and a feeling that's arising right now based on things that have happened in the past and based on certain habits of thinking also from the past that might we come back again. So that mantra was really, really helpful to me to keep reflecting on, you know, when you make the mind your friend, you'll know what trust really means. It's very beautiful. And when there's trust, there's If in order for like part along with trust comes clarity, or maybe I'm not quite sure whether trust brings the clarity or clarity brings the trust, or they grow together. Perhaps they grow together, one supports the other. And when there's trust, there's more strength, there's ground. You've got ground under your feet. And there's when there's ground under your feet, then when you feel a sense of stability and trust, then you can open to whatever needs to be met and be curious about it, be interested in it. So I was reading a book of Ajahn Brahm recently, and there's one line that I underscored and wanted to read. It's very simple, but it's just very beautiful. Where he says, "The training of the mind is not controlling things, it's understanding them." Training of the mind is not controlling things, it's understanding them. And we so easily go into the trying to control things. We have an idea of how they should be, and we've read in the scriptures or in the books about how the mind can be, and what's wholesome and what's unwholesome. And so it's like, okay, let's try and make it all, we've got to make it all right, and we've got to make it all wholesome. Mustn't do any of those, mustn't let the mind go here or go there. And it's good to guide the mind. It's needed. We need to guide our minds in the right direction. And stuff will come up, old things will come, ghosts, old ghosts will come and haunt us from time to time. And so that just to know that, when we're training the mind, and it's an ongoing process, trying to control it to be the way we think it should be. And sometimes that's needed. Sometimes we need to do that. It's like we get the reins of the horse and we guide it the way it needs to go. And sometimes it just needs to be understood, it needs to be listened to. Needs to be responded to through that more listening quality, and not through making it line up the way we think it should. So once that mantra came to me, and I started to reflect on, where are the places that are not being listened to, or not being allowed to be heard, or don't fit in what I would like my life to be. Once I was able to listen to those, there was so much more peace and joy. Found myself smiling more and having a sense of humor about the trickiness of the mind. And with that more clarity, more letting go, then they can settling and deepening, and remembering really that the immediacy of the path. So mitta, the bhikkhuni mitta, she finishes with listen. I have followed that path of friendship to its end, and I can say with absolute certainty, it will lead you home. So it can seem like if we can just get everything under control and get things lined up and be the way we think we should be and get rid of those bits that are inconvenient, and inside it can be characters inside, it can be characters outside, which one if we could just control it all to be the way we think it should be, then the world we think it should be, the character we think we should be, or whatever, then everything will be well. But things are like this, messy and changing. Their strengths, their weaknesses. That's how we are, that's how the world is. So befriending things as they are, befriending the way we are ourselves, and befriending the way the world is, it leads us home. It leads us along the path of truth. And letting go. And I've been reflecting on Samasankapa, right thought, and how important that is on the path. I mean, every step of the path is important, but that the particular role of how we use our mind and it's such a simple thing if we remember that the mind is always present, even if it's scattered or agitated or confused, it's still here, it's happening now. And if we bring our attention to that in a caring way, in a kindly way, in an interested, our attention is caring and kindly and interested, then we're aligning ourselves with the path. And then letting go, not holding on to any thoughts really, not letting them get a hold of us. Once we bring attention, and once we recognize, you know, if a thought has kind of got hold of us, once we turn our attention to it, it doesn't have the same hold. So Samasankapa is pointing to letting go or renunciation and compassion or caring and metta or friendliness. So it's shifting our habits from grasping, controlling, holding to strong views of how things should be, harshness, judgment. I don't mean discernment. Discernment's a good quality, but like being judgmental, critical, rejecting, you know, recognizing when the mind's doing those things, we're off the path. We've lost it for a little while there. And then the path is pointing to letting go, to care, compassion, and to kindness, friendliness. So it's very, very important. They're very simple, actually, but very important to remember that, because it can feel very, very justified to be hard and critical and judgmental. And that somehow when those things are going on, they feel like it's supposed to be like that. That's the best thing to do. But it isn't. It's really aligned with the path. So those thoughts of renunciation or letting go, thoughts of non-harm, care, and thoughts of kindness or friendliness. These are huge supports on our path. And they're a support to ourselves, and they're also, no doubt, will be a support to people around us. So it's a very simple thing, and yet it's like a profound, it's a big change. And the old habits of, judgment and criticism and stuff, they're going to come in, doubt or whatever it is, or being too harsh or too controlling. These things will happen until we're free of them. But just to remember that when the mind is caught in those things, this is we've been pulled off the path. We want to realign back onto the path. After awakening. And then preceding that, what comes before right thought is right intention, right view. So right intention is right thought, but right view. And that's like understanding. It's understanding the Four Noble Truths, and it's also understanding, that things are changing, everything's changing, and if we hold on to what is changing, we're going to suffer. And if we let go of what is changing, we align ourselves with reality, and that's peaceful. It's kind of put in the simple terms. So, recognizing that everything is changing. What we consider to be me is changing, and everything in this universe is changing all the time. So it's aligning with that truth, and then being part of that change by cultivating those wholesome states of mind, those wholesome qualities of mind. And this is something we can do, in when we're in silence, if we're in retreat, but it's also we can just do it in our daily life. Get to notice when the mind is going, where is it going? Is it going into those old habits again? So, and then what am I doing with that? Am I then coming down heavy, getting critical, or trying to control it, trying to suppress, or am I getting interested? Being curious, seeing, is there something that needs some attention? Is there something that's, is there a need there that's not getting met? And that if we take a little care, might just transform those states of mind. So this is a practice we can all do. And once we have the beginning of the path, then it sort of leads us deeper, quite naturally. I wanted to offer that tonight.